Amen. Welcome everybody to church tonight. If you could please grab your hymnals, let's stand and turn to hymn number 361. Hymn number 361, Heavenly Sunlight. Walking in sunlight all of my journey, I'm the first.
Walking in sunlight all of my journey, over the mountains, through the deep air. Jesus has said, I'll never forsake me, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing. Jesus is mine.
On the second.
Shadows around me, shadows above me, never conceal my Savior and God. He is the light, in Him is no darkness, ever walking close to His side. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine.
All right, really give it 110% on the last.
In the bright sun, I'd ever rejoicing, pressing my way to mansions above, singing His praises, gladly I'm walking, walking in sunlight, sunlight above. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, lighting my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing His praises, Jesus is mine.
Amen. Thank you for singing.
Amen. Well, it's good to see you this evening. Trust you had a wonderful day. And back this evening to worship the Lord together and just enjoy His good graces and mercy. Anybody have a rain gauge? Come on, you old guys. How much rain we get, Brother Bob, at least up in Rome? Pardon? Oh, you didn't empty it last time. Okay. You did a half inch? Well, we're thankful. Hopefully some of that half inch made it over into Eagle Mountain Lake, Brother. 1 inch. Okay. Well, hey, we'll take every bit of it, plus. And it's been a good day, good weekend, and we're sure thankful, as Curtis mentioned this morning, for all the Lord was pleased to do with the yard sale. And I did want to say this. I'm thankful for all the youth workers as well, the workers and all you parents that helped out. It was a blessing. I just snuck over there a couple times and see if there's any treasures. And but I appreciate all the donations and the work, and certainly we're grateful. I think the guys are still back there counting ones, though. Amen. Well, let's take a minute and welcome each other in the Lord this evening.
Thank you.
All right, if you could head back to your seats, grab your hymnal yet again, and turn to hymn number 104. Hymn number 104. My faith looks up to thee. As you're heading back to your seats, I think you know the first well enough to just sing it out on the first.
My faith looks up to thee, thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be. I tread, and griefs around me spread. Be thou my God. Bid darkness turn to day. Wipe sorrow's tears away. Nor let me ever stray from thee.
Sing that last, really focus on those words. My big are on the last.
When mine's life's transient dream, when death's whole soul and stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Above a ransom soul.
Amen. Thanks for singing. You may be seated.
Oh,
Amen. Aerobic time. Let's stand again. Grab your hymnal and turn to hymn number 109. Hymn number 109. Sing that on the first.
There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waste. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
Before service started today, it was mentioned to me that every one of our missionaries are here. And I thought, man, I thought all we could handle was Brother Wayne. But, you know, when I was told that, I thought, you know what? But we're all missionaries. We're all sent to go send that light to the world. So really sing it out with a passion and a desire to send the light to this world. On the second.
We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. It's old in offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
And for those of us that aren't out on the field daily, on the third, let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. On the third.
Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light. Gospel light, let it shine from forevermore.
All right, as we see on that last, this is for those that are out there spreading the word of Christ and start feeling a little bit depressed and things start getting kind of hard. Let's sing it on the last.
Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated.
Well, gentlemen, if y'all take your places, get ready to see this evening's offering. We'll go over a few announcements. The act surprised, Brother Penny. Tonight we're having a surprise go away for y'all when you get back there. So don't expect confetti. Ladies brunch is going to be tomorrow. It's going to be a girls activity on the 12th. And folks, next Sunday on the 13th, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. Look around. If you find any members who's not here who might not know about this, encourage them to be here. Something very important that we need to observe. Let's see, ladies fellowship on the 15th and the pastor's class. It's a monthly thing. The Fafwinas do have newsletter. Let's take the time to read that. And Brother Milton Martin is celebrating his 50th year in his ministry down there. If y'all would like to go and see this, see Brother David, and he will tell you all the neat details about it. So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for your giving us, Lord. Thank you for the wonderful message you've given this morning to the pastor, Lord. Thank you for the rain that you've given us today, Lord. Right now, I ask you to be the gift and the giver. And be with Brother Robin as he comes and preaches to us, Lord. And Lord, please be with them as they get ready to travel and go back home to their mission field, Lord. Help us not to forget them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Is it Robin or Penny's preaching tonight? Oh, I could laugh with you, brother, because I sure mess that up a lot. You pray for Brother Penny as he comes. I sure appreciate my Brother Penny. Enjoy being with them there in Samoa. I guess it's been almost 2 years ago now, or about 2 years ago. And thinking about, as they talk about different things there, around the house and the church, you know, our mind goes back to that, different ones that are part of the ministry there. And when they go back this time, it's going to be a surprise for them too. Going to be some new faces for them to meet. And several have been saved and baptized and part of the church now. We should rejoice with all that the Lord is doing there in Samoa. So you pray for Brother Penny as he comes.
I think my wife's singing tonight.
We're going to sing an old faithful. We're going to sing something we've sang before, but I'm kind of emotional tonight, so I needed my husband to sing with me. So hope it's a blessing to you.
Are lonely and dreary.
Tonight, I thank the Lord for the opportunity that we'll be able to come to the States and report to the churches that are supporting us. And also, special thanks for Metropolitan Baptist Church for sending us out. And a lot of things that we learned from this church, the big project of our of this term is the Bible. And we've been bringing the Bible. The Bible we took is about 7,000 Bibles. It's cost about $56,000. And we didn't pay anything for that Bible. We only paid the shipping, but the beams printed free for us. And I thank all of you and Sister Chris and Danette and Brother Tom and Greeny. Great impact in my wife that she'd be able to typesetting the whole Bible. She was working with Brother Tom and Queenie in Australia, and she learned a lot from them and Myra, and she used that to typesetting the Bible this time. And thank you, Brother Tom, and thank you, Metropolitan Baptist Church. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you for coming to Samoa and see the work and see what God has done through us. And tonight I'm going to preach from the book of the book of Numbers, chapter 20. Got your Bible there? I want you to turn your Bible with the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 20, I want you to, if you find your place, I want you to stand with me. We're going to read one verse. If you can. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 12. It reads, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because he believed me not, to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore he shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." Father, we come before your presence tonight. Lord, we ask you to bless the message. Pray that you help us. Lord, that we can see where I'm trying to explain tonight. And Father, I pray that your spirit will work in our hearts. Bless your message, Lord, and pray that you help me, the message, and also, Lord, help me with the language that I will communicate your word in a way that your people understand. Love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Book of Numbers, this is a story of Moses and Aaron as they took the children of Israel. For that, I will entitle this message, Looking Up and Pressing On. Looking Up and Pressing On. This is the story of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. They were wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. And they're coming to a time that they were on the other side of Jordan and waiting to enter into Canaan. And Moses and Aaron were the one that lead the children of Israel all the way from Egypt to Canaan. And this event happened right there when Moses and Aaron was about to take the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. And I look at some of the reference here that Moses and Aaron recorded in the book of Exodus chapter 7 verse 7. And this one, the 3 years older, Aaron is 3 years older than Moses. And this recorded when Aaron came and God spoke to Moses in the wilderness when he was looking after the sheep of his father-in-law, and God called him to go to Egypt and bring the children of Israel out. And when Moses came and met with his brother Aaron, it's recorded here that Moses was 40 years old, was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 years old. And this event here, it's recorded when Aaron and die in this place of Hor. Aaron was 123 years old. Moses was 120 years old. Like they died in the same year. You know, they're 3 years apart, but they were die in the same year. And when they came out of Egypt, they were wandering in the wilderness. Moses was a little kid, grew up in the time of the Israelite slavery in Egypt. Or may I say that the Great Depression of the nation in their history. Moses was born in a time that God spared him for a great work. Even though that he was raised in a palace, his own biological parents were able to teach him the history of their nation and their beliefs. He was well educated, not only the things around him because of his access to the palace, but he also was educated in the spiritual things because of his parents' knowledge of God. And Moses, you know, if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Moses, when he brought up in Egypt, his parents hid him. And also, not only that he was accessed to the palace because the Pharaoh's daughter took him and adopted him, but also they gave him to his own mother, and his mother taught him the way of the Lord. And in the book of Hebrew, it tells us that Moses chose to follow God instead of the things of this world. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24 to 27, by faith Moses, when he was come to the years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasure in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses chose to follow God. Israel dwelt in Egypt in 430 years. You look at your Bible, I know that some of you are going through the reading of Bible through the year. Moses, the children of Israel, when they came down, the time of Joseph, they lived in Egypt for about 430 years. They came them down with 70 people living in Egypt. They lived there for 430 years. When they left Egypt, it was about 2 million people left Egypt. And they said there was a time that when Joseph passed away, the king of Egypt at that time did not know them. And when Joseph passed away, it was still 350 years of the children of Israel dwell in the land. So for 350 years, by the end of 350 years, those people don't know anything about Joseph. And what the responsibility, the great responsibility that Pharaoh gave him to conduct everything in Egypt. The Israelites' journey in the wilderness reminds me that God we serve is a long-suffering God. He's slow to anger and patiently deal with the children of Israel. Sometimes I think to myself, how did the Israelites keep on questioning God with the things that God performed in front of them? The 10 plagues, they see with their eyes, they see everything. They saw everything that God performed in Egypt. Not only that, as God led them to the wilderness, God led them by the pillar of clouds during the day and the pillar of fire at night. Something that goes straight up to heaven, and they follow them. They saw a lot of miracles. Moses struck a rock, and you know, the water came out of that rock. And Israel saw with their eyes, and they keep on refusing to obey God every time that they struggle. They murmured. Moses was dealing with a whining people for 40 years. You know, our world today is doing the same thing. When bad things happen, they complain, see God, God's face. But when the blessings abundance, they never think of God. You know, when we have a 9/11, I remember, heard the news. First time in United States, people fill up churches. They know they fear God, but they serve their own idols and little things. I remember when we went back to Samoa in 2009, 4 days later, we had a tsunami and killed about 140 people. I got a call from one of our men running to the bush, running up to the mountain with a cell phone, calling me and said, we have a tsunami here. And that's recorded in the history of Samoa that a lot of people went to church that time. And about 3 weeks later, when they all buried those people, they're back to normal. The children of Israel messed up Moses' dream. You know, every American have a dream. We all have dreams. I have dreams. I'm chasing dreams. And I was looking for countries to fulfill those dreams. I went to New Zealand thinking that I'm going to go and play professional football, rugby. God turned me around. Amen. Because God has a purpose. I was struggling for a lot of years, from 1986 to 1999. I'm still running from God until I surrender totally to God. I had dreams. I thought I can fulfill myself. An Egyptian and an Israelite kid grew up for 430 years. Living in a country that's not belongs to their ancestors and go through a lot of tribulation. Their dream is Canaan. That's what they're dreaming for. I want to go to Canaan. Moses led the children of Israel all the way for 40 years, came to the other side of Jordan, and God said, it's over. What will you do when God said, you're chasing your dream, and God said, it's over. Back up your stuff. Go do something else. What do you do? In Numbers chapter 12, Moses told God told the children of Israel when they were murmuring against Moses. And he said to Moses, Moses, I want you to sanctify me in front of the congregation of Israel. I want you to take Aaron, your brother. I want you to bring him in front of the children of Israel. And I want you to take your rod. And I want you to speak to the rock. Moses was so mad. Because all these people, that's all they do for 40 years, whining. And Moses gets fed of it. Moses came over and hit the rock. And God said to Moses, verse 12, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because he believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore he shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses, your chance, your dream is over. You're not going. Moses lived for 40 years in Egypt, tried to help out the children of Israel, killed an Egyptian, tried to save an Israelite, a Jew. And then when he knew that Pharaoh know about the matter, he left. He went out in the back of the mountain for another 40 years, looking after the sheep of his father-in-law. And also God taught him, during that time he was outside of the mountain, God taught him about the land that he's going to take the children of Israel. God prepared him for a purpose. God called him exactly the same place that he looked after the sheep, that he's going to take the children of Israel out there. He went out when he was 80 years old, and God told him, take the children of Israel. For another 40 years, that's the whole life of Moses. Try to save the children of Israel. Try to bring the children of Israel to the land of promise. That's his whole life. He died in the book of Deuteronomy. He was 120 years old when he died. All his life is trying to take the children of Israel and take himself to the land where God promised. I believe that Moses knew, because his mother and his father taught him the promise that God promised to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. I believe that God, his parents teach him all the ways of the Lord and the dream of an Israelite. He wants to be in Canaan. But Moses come to the end of his dream. God said, it's over, Moses. Because you're not sanctifying me in front of the congregation, your dream is over. Pack up your stuff. Ready to die. You're not going to the land. Here is chapter 20. Moses' testimony was ruined. His dream has been told. It's over. His future is determined somewhere in the wilderness. And the question will be arise, what shall I do? No, we all get into that situation in our life. We come to the end. We ask God for things. We ask God to help us, to give us what we want. But when God turned around and said, wait, then there are three answers that God always gives us. It's no, yes, and wait. A lot of people don't want to wait. And when they don't want to wait, they do the wrong thing. When God said no, that he mean it. God will give us sometimes things that we want. And God allowed us to have those things. But God said to Moses, Moses, it's over. Ruin his dream. Many people will give up at this point and decide to take the different path. I got a lot of Christian friends. Got somebody that went to Bible college together. My best friend, Bible college. When a dean told him that he is not going to graduate, he turned. He went to be a policeman in Australia. I don't know what he's doing now. But he totally turned around his life because he was mad. Many people will give up this point and decide to take a different path. They follow God as long as their future is bright, as long as their dreams are still in prospect, as long as their testimony was not being ruined. Moses fled Egypt because he tried to save his own people from the cruel Egyptians. He was rejected as his own people. But when God told him to go back to his people, he went back. Pharaoh. He was confronting Pharaoh several times. You know, there are 10 plagues. But in my mind, there are 10 plagues that Moses, that God came to in the land of Egypt. But you know what? Moses, if you count it times, Moses went to Pharaoh about 20 times. Or over 20 times. Because when Pharaoh rejected, Moses left. You know, things coming. And Pharaoh, when fed up with the plagues, he called Moses, and Moses came again. You know, it's not easy to approach a king. But Moses tried to save the children of Israel and take them to the promised land, because that's the dream of the... In Numbers chapter 20, verse 14 to 22, and Israelites faced the rejection from the Edomites and to go through the land. Here again, the troops slow down, and it seems like they take a long road. He did not quit. Life continue without me. And this is absolutely, that is what Moses think. I don't care if I quit, because God never quit. I can quit. And I can say, God, it's over. I'm not going. I'm not doing what you want me to do. God is not going to quit. I can quit myself, but never quit. God would take somebody else. And bear in mind, if you don't want to go somewhere, or you don't want to go where God tells you to go, God continue on. His plan is continue on.
Oh, yeah.
And Moses acknowledged that. Moses, even if he quit in this time, God's still going. It's his plan. It's not his plan. It's not Moses' plan. It's God's plan.
Right.
And Moses, there's three things here that I know that Moses keep on doing. This is the last year of as they were in the wilderness. Moses, first thing that Moses still served the Lord. He still served the Lord. Excuse me. You know, there's a story of a farmer with said they have a donkey, an old donkey, and a dry well. What happened? The donkey fell in the well. And he decided what to do. He don't know what to do with because the donkey is old, and also the well is dry. So he think of he cannot save the donkey. Donkey's old. The well is dry. There's no need to. So he decided to get a shovel and dig up the dirt and fill up the well. He's gonna bury the donkey alive. I said, every shovel of dirt that fell on the donkey's back, he shook it off. Let that dirt go down. Uh-huh. And the donkey step on that dirt and make his way up out of the well. You know, sometimes we don't want to get out of the pit. But God has a way to get us out of the pit. If we're really seeking the Lord. Moses knew that he's looking up to God and he keep pressing on. He keeps serving God. He didn't quit. If you look at in that chapter 20 and verse 23. And the children of Israel, even, verse 22, and said, and the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came into Mount Hor. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the coast of the land Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because he rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, and bring them up into Mount Hor. Strip Aaron of his garment and put them upon Eleazar, his son. And Aaron shall be gathered unto his people and shall die there. And Moses did as the Lord has commanded. And they went up into the Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. And Moses stripped Aaron of his garment and put them on Eleazar, his son, and Aaron died there in the top of Mount. And Moses and Eleazar came down from the Mount. And when all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead, they mourned for Aaron 30 days, even all the house of Israel. Here is the event that Moses, God just told him, you're not going to Canaan. At the end of that chapter, God said, when they come to Mount Hor, God said to Moses, I want you to take your brother up to Mount. Take his son, Eleazar. Strip him of his garment. Give it to Eleazar, his son. He's going to continue on. Aaron's going to die there. What are you doing if God said, God just told them, Moses and Aaron, you're not going to the land. Now Aaron's going to go. What are you doing? What are you going to do? Aren't you afraid? God just told Moses and Aaron, you're not going either. Take your brother. He's going to die here. Who's the next? Moses. Moses put his head down. Take his brother. He took up his brother. Strip it out. He didn't even say, God, I don't want to do this. He served God. He continued to do what God told him to do. He didn't quit. God told him, take his brother. You know, it's hard to imagine that if you take your brother somewhere and you know he's going to die there. But Moses, even it hurts physically, he took his brother up on the mountain, stripped him off his garment, take it to his son, Eleazar, and they came down. Aaron died. He keeps serving the Lord. He keeps serving the Lord. Not only that, he keeps serving the Lord. He was sensitive to the need of people and also God's commandment. In the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verse 5 to verse 9, this is one of the events. After this, and the people spake against Moses, against God and against Moses. Wherefore have we brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our souls loatheth for this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpent among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, we have spoken against the Lord, and against thee, pray unto the Lord that he will take away the serpent from us. And Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he look upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent oppressed, he leave. He keep on sensitive to the need of people. This is the people. This is true love. He was doing everything to help the children of Israel to get to Canaan. And he wants to go to Canaan. This is the time that Moses said, well, you ruined my dream. You go to God. You go yourself. God bring the serpent and beat the children of Israel. This is the time that the payback time. I'm glad I'm not God, because I will do the same thing. You go pray for yourself. You ruin my dream. You go do it yourself. But Moses didn't. Moses, get down to his knees and pray and ask God. Why? Because he loved people. And he's also, he knows God is there. Amen. He was sensitive to the need of people. And he was sensitive to God. Moses swallowed the pain of all the criticism and served God. Numbers chapter 27, verse 12. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee up on the mount Ephraim, and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. Verse 13, and when thou hast seen it, that thou shalt gather unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother was gathered. For he rebelled against my commandment in the desert of sin, in the strife of congregation, to sanctify me in the water before their eyes, that is the water of Meribah in Kadesh, and in the wilderness of sin. Moses keep on sensitive to the need of people and also sensitive to God's. The third thing is Moses still seek God's direction. Moses not only missed the opportunity to see Canaan, his position is given to someone else while he is still able to fulfill his duty, especially his associate is appointed. Moses knew, he probably knew that Joshua will be the one that lead the children of Israel. Joshua was one of the men that left Egypt, and they followed Moses all the way to Canaan. Probably Moses knew that Joshua would be the one. But what did Moses do? He went to God first. Amen. He went to God, asking God's direction. God did not just say, Joshua, take over. He probably do that, you know, if he quit. He probably, Joshua, mine is ruined. You lead his children. But he didn't. But also, leading the children, Moses knew that the nation of God is a great nation. It's a nation of God. And he asked God for direction. Who's going to lead the children of Israel to the promised land? Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 4 to verse 7. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord, and he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural source of bait. Moses died without his eyes. You know, he's got a strong eyesight. He was strong. But you know what? I think there's a reason why God made that happen. Moses, when Jesus came, and Jesus tried to tell the children of Israel what is the right thing to do, the children of Israel always referred to the law of Moses. Jesus, this is what you say, but this is what Moses said. They always refer to Moses. When Jesus says something, they always go back to Moses. Jesus, this is what you say, but this is what Moses said. And God, he said, Moses died and God buried him. There's no one buried Moses. God buried him. And no one knows where his bones are. And I know why. I can kind of suspect, because if the children of Israel know where Moses is, probably one of the things that they worship now is the bone of Moses. But he didn't know where. God told Moses in the book of Deuteronomy, the last chapter of Deuteronomy. Excuse me. So in verse 1 to verse 7. Now after the day of Moses, the servant of the Lord. Verse 4. The last book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34. And it said in verse 4, and the Lord. Verse 5. And Moses, servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And they buried him in the valley, in the land of Moab, against the Beth Peor. But no man knoweth his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. You know, Moses did not accomplish his dream. Moses is not able to fulfill the dreams of his life. He was looking forward to that dream. But he was keep on serving the Lord. He was keep on sensitive to the need of people that he led and the need that God wants him to do. And he keep on seeking God's direction. And that's how life should be. No matter what happened to our lives, we rest assured that God will give us the answer. And this is the answer that God gave Moses. I want you to turn with Read the book of Matthew chapter 17. The first four verses of Matthew 17. It said, after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to the high mountains apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses, Elias, talking with him. And he answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make us three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. You know what I believe? Moses didn't fulfill all his dreams in his lifetime in the way he wants to fulfill his dream. But it was fulfilled when God's time is right.
Amen.
This is the mount recorded here is in the land of Canaan.
That's right.
Jesus and his disciple went up to the mount, and there was Moses there. He wasn't fulfilled his dreams in his lifetime the way he wants to fulfill his dreams. But God fulfilled his dream in a way God wants him to fulfill his dreams. But sometimes we quit God because God's not giving us the answer we want. But you know God has an answer. If God's not answering your prayer here and your dreams here in life, God will answer your prayer in heaven. God gives you the answer. The only thing you do as a Christian, as we as a Christian, keep up looking up.
Amen.
Keep on pressing on.
Yes.
For the service of the Lord.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Penny. Appreciate the word of God tonight. It's great to have a vision of a dream. And of course, if we would keep that dream focused on the things of God and what God would have. And, you know, I'm sure not going to be one that's going to throw stones at Moses. Psalm 103 says that while the nation of Israel knew the acts of God, Moses knew the ways of God. It's a big difference from just seeing the things that God does, but knowing the behind the scenes, the whys and the wherefores of why God did what he was doing. And that's the relationship that Moses had with God. And even somebody as a Moses, the frustration sometimes and the overwhelming circumstances, we can lose sight of that dream, lose sight of what God's doing for that moment, and oh my, the cost, huh? But aren't we thankful, as Penny brought that message to a close, to see that, again, not in Moses' timing, but in God's timing, Moses did have his feet on that promised land. Amen? Let's stand together this evening. Father, we thank you so much for the grace of God, thanking you for your mercy tonight. Oh, what a great God you are. A God that we can trust, that we can believe in, can have our eyes focused on to direct and lead all the way to your promised land. And Lord, we realize that there's glory ahead for the believer. And Lord, this evening, I just want to ask you, in the name of your Son, do for our church family, Father. I know there's some that are struggling and battling with different things, physically, emotionally, spiritually. Father, would you be pleased to enter in and be that encourager? Might your spirit be that God of comfort this evening, comforting dear precious families and individuals throughout our church body. Father, some that aren't even able to be here tonight because of physical ailments, Would you go to where they are? Meet them right there at their place and their need. And lifting them, encouraging them, blessing them in beautiful, wonderful ways. Thank you for the Fafawinas. Thank you for what you are doing in and through their lives and ministry. Lord, we'll miss them, but we commend them to you, knowing that you're a great God and that you do have a work to be done there in the islands of Western Samoa. And we're thankful that you let us, let our church be part of all that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hymn 153.
Amen. Amen. Obey the Lord this evening.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender humbly at his feet. I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
This is Melanie Mullen, and I think it was a couple weeks ago, she told me it was actually on Tuesday. I came in this evening, and I said, Ella, what do you, I forget how the word is, what are you doing? She said, I'm a Christian. And a week ago Wednesday night, I got in the car myself and saw that the Mullins coming down the sidewalk. And she ran down there to me and she said, Mr. Turner. I said, guess what happened? And I said, what happened? You and the dad had already told me. She said, I got saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we're so thrilled. And Ella McMullen's coming this evening to present herself for baptism. I said, you want to be baptized to become part of the church? He says, I sure do. Am I going to get to present myself and see you? I just wish she'd come out of her shell. Ella, you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And you would like to be baptized and become a member of Metropolitan Baptist Church?
Yes, sir.
Amen. All right. On her profession of faith and desire of baptism, church family, would we receive this one in the membership of Metropolitan Baptist Church?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. And when we say amen in a minute, everybody's going to go towards the fellowship hall. So I'm going to ask you to stand over here with Daddy and Brother and Miss Dava, and then everybody can welcome you into Metropolitan Baptist Church. All right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that precious? It'll only take a moment. You know, the Fafawinas are returning Monday, tomorrow night. What time does your flight go out, my brother? 6:30 tomorrow evening. They'll be having they're going to New Zealand and spend a few days there before they return to Samoa. But it's still a long trip. It'll be a long flight. And so you pray for them, but when they get back to Samoa, they're not going to be relaxing. the container of Bibles and some much-needed household goods for them is going to arrive the 26th of April. A lot of things to prepare for that. And it looks very favorable that they'll be able to establish a radio station there in the capital city of Apia. Big, big step. Wonderful opportunity. Also in June, not only are we celebrating Milton Martin's 50 years in Mexico, the church there in Samoa will be welcoming some folks from Oak Harbor Bible Baptist Church to on a mission trip. So you pray. They got a lot going on over the summer. So please pray for them as they go back. And, of course, we're going to go to the fellowship hall and hug their neck and promise them our prayers when they return to Samoa. Father, we bow before you tonight. We're so thankful for Jesus. So thankful for your goodness and your grace, your mercy to us. Lord, we rejoice in little Ella's salvation. Thank you, Father, that you're still saving souls, precious souls like this young lady. And Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over her, that you'd protect her and keep her, help her mom and dad to raise her for your glory and for your honor. Lord, we look forward to, as her church family, to be there for, to pray for her, to encourage her, even challenge her along the way in the things of God. And Father, this evening, as we go to the fellowship hall for this time with the Fafawinas, please bless all that goes on, the food we'll receive, and most of all, though it's a bittersweet time with saying our goodbyes, but also looking forward to what you're going to do with the Fafawinas on this next term. We love you so much, Father. Thank you for a great day in Christ. Thank you for doing for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's just be dismissed then this evening. And you make sure you say something to Miss Ella on her way.